Many newspapers have called it the greatest club game ever. The strength of Munster rugby has always been the big boys up front.
I'm actually really, really excited for it.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
We're crossing over to Abu Dhabi right now, where Jess McFadden of the Motorsport Network is standing by. First, let's have a reminder of how that final lap of the 2021 Formula One Championship went yesterday.
We're going to have one lap of racing to decide the championship. Hamilton has the advantage. Verstappen has the faster, fresher tyres. And we have got 3.2 miles of racing action all the way to the chequered flag as the crowd roar the drivers on to the final lap of this race. And Verstappen sets after Hamilton. Is it going to be a first world championship for Verstappen? Is it going to be an eighth world championship for Lewis Hamilton? Where can Verstappen try and get past Hamilton? First overtaking zone is normally down into turn five. Is Verstappen far enough back? He's going to make the lunge down the inside. Hamilton sees him coming. It's a late lunge by Verstappen, who takes the lead of the race. Verstappen now snatches the championship trophy from Lewis Hamilton, who's trying to fight back.
No DRS for two laps, so Lewis Hamilton will not get the rear wing open. He's going to go down the outside. If Verstappen keeps it tight and neat, but he hasn't. He's gone a little bit wide.
No, Mikey. No, Mikey. That was so not right.
Here comes Lewis Hamilton, though, down the back straight. He's got a slipstream. He almost touches Verstappen. They almost make contact into turn nine. Verstappen stays ahead of Lewis Hamilton. Of all the drama, of all the controversy, of all the magic moments in Formula One in 2021, it comes down to this. And at this moment, it looks like it's going to go the way of Max Verstappen. Mercedes not happy. Red Bull will be delighted. They have shared a brilliant championship battle, but the championship can only be won by one, and it's going Dutch in 2021. Max Verstappen, for the first time ever, is champion of the world.
Yes, indeed. And we can go live to Abu Dhabi right now because Jess McFadden of the Motorsport Network was watching it. She's with us now. Jess, good morning to you.
Hi, well, it's afternoon in Abu Dhabi, but good morning to everyone listening and to you guys. Yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster 24 hours, I think that's fair to say.
Absolutely. Can I just first of all ask, what was it like there at the track yesterday? Because you definitely felt a sense there, even in the commentary, that the volume went to a whole other level over those last 3 miles.
Yeah, I mean, this weekend really just had such build-up. I mean, even in the lead-in to the weekend, there was just such tension and anticipation as to what happened. I mean, we had 21 races prior, and we were going into this final finale with our title contenders equal on points. So everything had felt very tense. It felt very kind of, everybody was waiting for what was going to give the advantage to either Red Bull or Mercedes, Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton. But genuinely, I mean, Yas Marina is an amazing place to have the F1 finale because it is just set up for a party. It has a really kind of usual end of school vibe to it. But that was completely and utterly different last night. It was tense still, really emotional, extremely confusing. So to be there and to be a part of it and to kind of watch it all unfold was a brand new experience for me. It's definitely nothing that I've ever experienced in my time covering Formula One. So it is, I don't know if there was any other way to end what has been an entirely bizarre season.
Mm. I mean, when you say that the tension was palpable yesterday, I presume you mean as much after the race as much during it and the hours afterwards. So can you describe what that was like doing your job, I guess, in the hours afterwards and wondering what Mercedes were going to do, wondering what Red Bull would do if Mercedes were going to appeal? What were those few hours like for you?
Yes, I mean, it was very much like in the paddock. There wasn't a sense really of celebration. I mean, Red Bull were celebrating, Max was celebrating what he thought to be his world championship and currently still is. But, you know, the tensions at Mercedes was not so much as a, you know, well, this is unfortunate, we've lost the chance at clinching the driver's title as well as the constructor's title. But it was extremely tense and very, very kind of confrontational. Mercedes had brought a QC barrister with them to the track, and it was very much the battle isn't over and we're going to fight this. So instead of it being a kind of a sense of winner and loser, it was very much a sense of this isn't right. This isn't Formula One and this isn't over. We're still waiting technically to find out if Max Verstappen will retain that world championship in the Drivers' Championship. And that might not be decided for months to come. We're kind of still waiting Mercedes have 96 hours essentially, or less than that now, since they lodged their intent to appeal the stewards' decisions. So we're still waiting to find out if our championship is even ended.
Why will they feel that they have a better chance now on second appeal as opposed to the appeal that they lodged last night?
So we have different various stages of being able to appeal decisions or to contest decisions. So the first appeal goes to the FIA, and that is where the stewards will look at what's happened, and they will come to an evaluation based on the regulations in Formula One. Now, if the team still feels, in this case Mercedes, still feels that the FIA, who dismissed both appeals, so Mercedes lodged two appeals last night. One was for Max Verstappen overtaking behind the safety car, which is not allowed. So at that safety car restart, you saw Max was edging on Lewis and kind of got a bit of a front wheel ahead of him, which he's not meant to do. Essentially, when the safety car comes in, Lewis Hamilton becomes the safety car, for want of a better kind of analogy. And Mercedes felt that Verstappen wasn't playing ball in that respect. And then we have the second appeal, which is the most important one. And that is that there was the belief that the FIA didn't follow regulations in terms of restarting the race with the safety car situation. And so I think they've left the first appeal, which was dismissed kind of not as quickly as we thought maybe it would be. But it's the second appeal that's the one that's the most important. And they feel that the FIA have broke protocol, have not followed regulations. And therefore, what is happening now is if they appeal, they can take it to the International Court of Appeal, which is outside of the FIA. And it's essentially, it's the law court for all intents and purposes. And it's essentially going to hold the FIA and Mercedes to account if Mercedes do intend or do actually submit a formal appeal. So it's one of those things in Formula One where it's a little bit confusing and it's not always very, very clear. There's so many facets to the way that the championship is regulated. And Mercedes are going to pull every move that they can. They do not believe that Lewis should have lost the championship in that way. They feel that it's been extremely unfair and that the rules haven't been followed. And so it could be going to essentially a law court.
What do you think? Do you think that the Michael Massey can make the final decision element does get them off with this? Or do you feel that those people who on social media or who publicly have bemoaned this decision quite vociferously over the past 24 hours really do have a point? That protocol really was broken away from yesterday as a result of the decision. What's your gut feeling on how this thing might play out?
It's really tough. I mean, for us in the media centre, when we were watching it play out, we were pretty shocked. We, as I said kind of earlier on in the show, I've never seen anything like it. And people that have far more experience, you know, covering Formula One for multiple decades, also said that they've never seen anything like it. And I think it's the problem that we've got is with the consistency and the problem that we've got with the FIA essentially deciding the title championship. There were some kind of misgivings and confusion. You know, Michael Massey originally said that the lapped cars that were in between Lewis and Max at the time the safety car was called weren't going to be able to unlap themselves, get out of the way and essentially bunch Lewis and Max back together. And then with very few laps to go, the call was made that only the cars between Lewis and Max could unlap themselves and the rest of them were essentially in the mixed field. And that is where I think that especially the fans and where we're in the position where we're saying, is that correct? Should the FIA race director be able to essentially influence the racing? you know, from many people's perspective, the FIA, the race director, they're predominantly there to ensure safe racing and fair racing. And in this example, there is a question mark about whether this was fair. You know, was it fair that only part of the rule was used in terms of the safety car restart? And it was kind of the really worrying thing as well was that we, a new thing this season is that we're able to listen to the FIA radio between race control, Michael Massey, and the teams. And it very much sounded like the teams were lobbying Michael Massey in order to influence his decision on what he was going to say was going to happen. And that shouldn't happen. You wouldn't find that in any other sport. So I think that's where people are kind of thinking that I don't think we will see the same ever again in Formula One. I think there's going to be a lot of change. And it's that that I think does need a look at, whether or not, I think the main thing for me, right, I'm a purist. I love racing and I want to see championships, as I'm sure everybody listening and watching and that's followed the season, wants this championship decided on track and fairly. And I think that is the, I said last night on Twitter, I don't see a win-win situation in this because Max and Red Bull did nothing wrong. They were only following the rules. But Mercedes also were massively, massively out, like kind of put out by the fact that the regulations that they thought were going to be followed were changed on a whim because we wanted entertainment. And that is the thing that I think is going to stick hardest for most people is this a sport or is this entertainment? And last night, what we saw was kind of entertainment and kind of pushing away the sporting element of it, which for me, it sticks in my throat a little bit. But I really, the biggest thing for me is I don't want the championship decided in a court of law. It should be decided and the driver champion should be crowned at the FIA gala on Thursday, where, you know, that's kind of the timeline that we're dealing with right now. You know, Max Verstappen is meant to receive his trophy, and to be able to celebrate such a hard-fought year. And we might see this all turned around in, say, January, February time, and the result completely changed. And that, I guess, would be an absolute travesty for Formula One. It makes a mockery of Formula One. And after everything that we've seen, you know, the increased attention brought to the season this year has just been amazing. And it would be such a shame for it to end on such a kind of sour note.
What's really interesting, Jess, is what legacy yesterday will have in the long run. And you talk about potentially the rules being altered with regards to lobbying the race director, for example. The counterpoint I'd make to that is that it was unbelievable entertainment. And I mean, that Toto Wolff audio of him saying, that's not right, is going to be forever etched into this moment. That will be as much a part of the sounds and the sights of yesterday as Max Verstappen overtaking Lewis Hamilton is. The bottom line is that scenario has made it a more entertaining spectacle for the casual viewer. So do the FIA in the long run actually think to themselves, listen, we need to change very little at all here because the bottom line has been increased here. The attention that the sport is getting has been increased here, and that is all we need to judge ourselves on.
There is that, but I guess you have to think about, is that short-termism? Because I think that will get very old very quickly. And most people will watch racing for the racing. Fundamentally, they 100% they'll be brought in by the entertainment factor, especially as you say, if they're a casual fan. I mean, you only have to look at the audience that Drive to Survive has brought in, the increased awareness that, you know, even I've seen personally from people contacting me on my own social platforms and kind of asking questions. The rise of kind of TikTok influencers in the F1 space that have come from Drive to Survive and they're kind of working out, what is this all about, this sport? And you're right, it will be poignant, but I think long-term it will be damaging because it will be seen that the FIA, which is meant to be the governing body, the referees of our sport, can be influenced by whomever has the most power, which can be the teams. And I don't think that won't be allowed to continue. I actually fear that next year they will stop us being able to listen to the FIA radio altogether, which is a shame for me because it's been one of my highlights, as well as a low light. I thought, you know, it was hard listening last night to hear Toto Wolff, you know, calling him Mikey. I mean, it belittles the FIA, and I think that won't be allowed to happen. even if it is, as you say, entertaining. But because I've also seen, you know, I've had school friends that I've not spoken to in years reach out to me about how exciting the race was, but they're also very confused, and they say, you know, is this what F1's about? Is this, you know, can the FIA, can the referee be kind of influenced in their decision making by the people that they're meant to be regulating? I think that has caused a big rift. So I will imagine that there will be changes, and I do feel like whether or not Michael Massey remains as race director next year, there will need to be some sort of sacrificial lamb in order to appease the masses and you know, the F1 fans that have been there for years and are massively invested in the sport. You know, they're the ones that are going to pay for tickets, pay for merchandise, travel around the world. And I think that is going to be the focus of Formula One, and also the broadcasters. If people start switching off because they think that F1 is nothing more than a puppet show, then we're gonna be a major problem.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting to see exactly if more people tune in to see the rivalry and the bitterness that ensues, or fewer people tune in because they don't believe in the outcome. Can I just ask a question about the rules then? Is there a possibility that they get changed? Because say, for example, the rules had been followed and the race had finished essentially behind the safety car, would that not also have left a massive sour taste in the mouth, where Max Verstappen wasn't given the opportunity through no fault of his own to actually get back into the race in the final laps?
Yeah, absolutely. That's always going to be, that's what I mean about there was no win-win situation, really. I feel, you know, in a way I felt sorry for Mike Massey to have to make that call, but he had to make it one way or another. And I think the problem that I've got specifically is that he kind of tried to do both. He also had the other option of calling a red flag and having a standing restart, as we saw in Baku this year, which was the other option. And you know, what would have happened then is that Lewis Hamilton would have been able to come in, change his tyres, and they would have been on equal terms, essentially. And it would have been a straight drag fight to the end. And I think that would have been just as entertaining as what we saw, if not more entertaining than what we saw last night. So I think it was a misjudgment. There was a lot of pressure riding on last night. The world was watching. I mean, we've always been talking in Formula One, we need something equivalent to a World Cup final or a Wimbledon final, where the world is watching. And we really had that last night. There was a real sense that the whole world was watching. And I think the pressure got a bit too much. And I think it hurt us. There were other options that could have gone, that Michael Massey could have chose not to. It got very confused, and now we're in this bitter feud that might not end, as I say, until early next year.
Yeah, it's certainly a story that's going to rumble on for quite some time. Jess, really enjoyed that. Thanks, Millie, for breaking that all down for us this morning.
No problem. Thanks. I hope you enjoyed it.
Cheers. Jess McFadden there of the Motorsport Network, live from Abu Dhabi there, about to fly out of there. Just an incredible couple of days, I think it's fair to say, over there.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.